Moment of Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. I am Caroline Fenton, joined by Mark Howard, filling in for Jared Stillman today, breaking down what we saw from Titans training camp today. And a little bit later, we'll get into some Predators. We'll have ESPN NHL writer Greg Wyshynski on later on. But I wanted to get into a little bit of Titans drama that we had at training camp on Saturday. So we'll circle back to some events from April. Tennessee Titans draft pick Rashad Weaver, it came out that he had allegations for punching a woman, saying that he had no problem punching a woman when the police reported to the scene back in April. So he will have a hearing coming up in October. So all of those legal proceedings are up in the air. But Rashad Weaver on Saturday spoke with the media for the first time since those allegations in April, right after the draft came out. Paul Kaharsky asked him a question about the incident, about his legal proceedings. Here's what he had to say.
Did you say that?
I mean, where we're at right now, I think we can talk about stuff as I've been a Titan regarding my agent and the legal team. Hopefully there's more clarity for everybody when that comes up. But we'll talk about stuff regarding football and things that have to do since I've been with the Titans.
Are you going to be eligible to play for the Titans this season?
We'll talk about football stuff.
So Paul Kaharsky asking, did you say that, mentioning the police report that says that he would have no problem hitting a woman if she needed it, quote. And Paul Kaharsky got a lot of kickback on Twitter surrounding that question. People saying, why would you ask that question if you know exactly what the answer is going to be? You know that he's going to, you know, give you kind of a scripted answer. But my response to that is he's doing his job. That is the biggest story revolving around Rashad Weaver at this point. Rashad Weaver could even be in jail this time a few months down the road in the middle of the season with his October hearing. He wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't ask that question. Mark, your thoughts on the retaliation, it feels like, from Titans Twitter.
Well, and not just because Paul's a close friend of mine, but, you know, Paul, I'll be honest with you, is one of the few people in the Nashville media who has the stones to ask that question, mm-hmm. and it was absolutely appropriate. And part of me thinks the Titans should cut Weaver, really. But because their first-round draft pick bombed out last year and they had to cut him, they're probably not going to do that. But I wonder what Amy Adams Strunk thinks when she sees, you know, one of her players, a fourth-round draft pick, say something like that. I mean, there's no way around it. And you didn't hear Weaver deny it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he said I was misquoted. It was taken out of context. And I don't want to hear from idiot fans, you know, who don't think you should ask that question just because Weaver's wearing two-tone blue. Stop protecting your players. Because if he played for another team, you'd be on the reporter for not asking the question. So I don't want to hear that crap. And why do you want a guy like that on your team? Are you so desperate, you know, to have a pass rusher that you'd have a guy like that who believes that? You know, you want your son to believe that? Or if you have a daughter, you know, you want your daughter to run people like that? I mean, give me a break. So I thought what Paul asked was totally appropriate. And going to the old crutch that I'm only going to talk about football-related issues. Yeah, I know. He's lawyered up. He doesn't want to say anything. He's going to trial and all that. But I thought it was absolutely in bounds. And, hey, we'll see what happens in open court.
I have absolutely no problem with the question, and I really don't have any problem with his answer. Like you said, he's lawyered up. He's dealing with a very tricky legal situation. He doesn't want to say anything that will get him in any more trouble than he's already in. You don't want to, you know, cripple yourself in a post-practice interview when people are asking you about it. But the problem that I have with it is that people are saying you shouldn't have asked that question because you knew that that's how he would answer.
And the Titans,
it doesn't matter how he would answer.
And the Titans presented Weaver as a guy. It was, you know, it was an unfortunate incident, not indicative of who he is, blah, 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 blah. That may very well be the case. But if what he said was true, I'd cut his butt. I would. I don't want a guy like that representing my organization. But they're not going to do it because maybe he can help them, which really sucks. But not the first time that's happened. But disappointed in the Titans if that's really the case. But again, we don't really know exactly how he said it. you know, when he said it. Mm-hmm. There has to be some context there. But it doesn't look good. It certainly didn't look good in print. And if he really did say that to the police, I don't know of a situation where it would be okay to say something like that. I could be wrong. But please, Twitterverse. Yeah, and that's fine. You'd be crappy reporters if you don't think Paul should have asked that question. He absolutely should have, and he wanted to get some kind of an on-the-record response from Weaver. It was their first shot at him, so of course you'd ask him that question.
Of course, it's the biggest storyline surrounding him, and I'm not here to play lawyer. I fully understand that everyone is innocent until they are proven guilty, and it will come out on his court date in October. But my question to you is, do you think that the Titans would play Rashad Weaver before his court proceeding, or do you think that they would sit him, avoid a media fiasco? Because like you said, if it is true, then that is a terrible look for the Titans to have him out there playing with the Titans uniform on. But then again, he hasn't been convicted of anything.
We'll see. We'll see what the league has to say about it. And I think I'm not well, first of all, we don't know how this is going to be adjudicated. So he will most likely have a first strike, in the league, in the league's program, but I don't know exactly what that's going to bring. But in terms of the appropriateness of asking the question, give me a break. Come on.
When you start to criticize reporters for asking the hard questions, that's when, if you want your news, if you want unbiased reporting, that's exactly what you're going to get. And, if you want fan-run things, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But when you are a reporter, you have to ask those questions, however uncomfortable they may be. Even if you know that you're going to get a scripted legal response, that is a reporter's responsibility, and that is their job. That is their duty as a reporter, having that access to ask that kind of question.
Listen, some people would ask that question, some wouldn't. I know Paul, and Paul's definitely, he's not going to finesse it. He never has. And, that's one of the things I respect about him. And I think he covers the Titans as well as anybody in the city. He's got a very successful website, and show. And part of it is because Titans fans want to hear the truth. If you want to hear, a fairy tale version, of the Titans where you don't hear anything negative, that's your prerogative. But Paul's doing his job.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel was also asked about the Rashad Weaver situation. Here is what Mike Vrabel had to say at training camp on Saturday.
Weaver's court case is a while off. Imagine that's something that hangs over a guy. There's nothing he can do between now and then.
I think that's something that you could discuss with Weave when the opportunity presents itself. He has been he's been focused. He's improved. He has showed improvement. And as far as guys' personal situations, I have conversations with a lot of our players and most of our players and trying to remain focused here and understand that we all have a job to do. But somewhat and very empathetic of things that they have going on outside of here as it relates to personal situations or family, all those things that we've always discussed. So try to get them to focus on, to the best of their ability, work and our football team while they're here.
Again, that was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel at training camp on Saturday responding to a question about Rashad Weaver, saying, hey, his court date is still a few months away. We're in a critical time right here, especially as a rookie getting those reps in. And Mike Vrabel with a typical Mike Vrabel response of, hey, we're going to do what we can. He looks good. He's improved. But we also have to understand that there are other things going on surrounding Rashad Weaver. Do you think you see Rashad Weaver in a Titans uniform this season?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea how that trial is going to go. There's probably going to be a plea bargain. And if that's the case, you'll probably see him. You might see a suspension, but I don't think you're going to see him out the whole year. And, sometimes you ask a question fully knowing that you're going to get a stock answer that's not going to really answer directly your question, but you want to get something on the record. And I think it's totally in bounds. And, you know, I thought Vrabel answered it the best way that he could. You know, he's not going to give you his opinion. That's just not going to happen. But at the same time, I think asking the question is perfectly fine.
Let's go to your text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a Titans thought or a thought on Rashad Weaver's response to Paul Kaharsky's question surrounding his legal proceedings. But Ben texts into the text line and says, I'm not sure you can fully count on a guy like Weaver to be your third pass rusher behind Dupree and Landry. The guy still has off-the-field legal issues to answer for and could face punishment from the league. Now, that's true. I think with the Rashad Weaver situation, you have to prepare for the worst, hope for the best, train him like he's going to be out there, you know, play him in there, let him get some reps like he will be playing for the Titans this season, and then prepare for the worst. You know, if Rashad Weaver is not out there, if he's not eligible to play from the league, then you have to have a backup situation.
Yeah, I think you said it all. You know, they're not going to be averse to picking up somebody on waivers. They've signed John Simon, you know, who's a solid, you know, depth player, role player, who could fill in as that number three pass rusher. You've got Roberson, you know, who's okay. You got Wyatt Ray. You know, you've got other people there. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get your calls, get your texts in. We are talking Titans training camp. But coming up next, Lewis Riddick said something very interesting about an AFC South competitor, an opponent of the Titans, and why what he says could eventually be really good for the Titans in the beginning of this next season. So we will get into all of that coming up next. But before we do that, allow me to let you know that ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Sunday as Nashville SC takes on DC United at Nissan Stadium. Pregame starts at 5:45 p.m. and the match begins at 6 o'clock p.m. You are listening to Stillman & Company live on 102.5 The Game. You are listening to the Stillman & Company live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. I am Caroline Fenton, joined by Mark Howard, filling in for Jared Stillman. Now, we learned last week that Carson Wentz will be out for 5 to 12 weeks with a foot injury, which is just the most ridiculous timeline ever. Like 5 to 12 weeks. Is it 5 or is it 12? That's, you know, that's a huge gap there, but that's neither here nor there. And we've learned that with the Indianapolis Colts, they usually tend to fib a little bit when it comes to injuries. When they say it's 5 weeks, it will actually be, you know, closer to 2 months. If they say 2 months, it may be closer to four. Who really knows? So the timeline for Carson Wentz's return is kind of up in the air. So when we learned about the injury, I think that we both Jared and I felt pretty okay about saying that, okay, the Titans signed, sealed, delivered are the AFC South champions with Jacob Eason coming in as the backup quarterback. Your thoughts on that? You're rolling your eyes, Mark.
You got to be kidding me.
Why?
It's the NFL. You have no idea what's going to happen.
With a backup quarterback in.
But you're assuming Tannehill won't get hurt, Derrick Henry won't get hurt. You don't know.
That's always up in the air, of course, but Eason, where it is right now.
Eason could step in. They've got a good defense. Come on.
You don't think that the Titans should win the AFC South?
Well, maybe they should, but I'm not, but it's certainly not gift-wrapped to them.
I was ready to mail it in.
Please.
Their starting quarterback is injured for however long.
It's sports. I mean, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Of course, anything could happen. But where it stands now with a healthy Tannehill, a healthy Henry, a healthy A.J. Brown, and a who knows if he's healthy or not, Julio Jones. I mean, with that alone, that sounds like the Titans should rack it up right there.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is, Caroline, is that, first of all, the Titans have a lot of question marks, mm-hmm. number one. Their schedule, especially, well, you know, they should get off to a good start, but they've got to run a pretty tough gauntlet there in the middle and late in the season. But the other part is they've been pretty fortunate in terms of injuries that Tannehill and Henry especially have avoided, you know, missing games. So I don't think that – I don't think that's the case at all. You know, the Colts could tread water for the first half of the season, get Wentz back, and, you know, 10 games could end up winning, you know, the South. 9 games might win the South with Houston and Jacksonville. So, no. The Titans are the favorites, but it's far from a guarantee.
Well, you talk about the Titans' tough stretch in the middle of the season. They absolutely do have a tough stretch. But, I mean, you look at the beginning of the Colts' schedule, at home against the Seahawks, home against the Rams, on the road in Tennessee. Then you have Miami, you have the Ravens, and then you have a week with the Texans. And then you travel to San Francisco to face the 49ers. The Colts don't have a cakewalk either. And especially without a starting quarterback that they thought that they were going to have coming in. If you have Jacob Eason as your quarterback week one against the Seahawks,
you're not guaranteed that Jacob Eason will be the guy. You know, they might make a move and bring a veteran in. So I don't believe that at all. I mean, you guys have the rights, you know, right to your opinions, but I think it's foolish, you know, to think it's in the bag for the Titans.
And you do mention they could possibly bring in a veteran quarterback, Jacob Eason, as the backup right now as it stands. And people thought, okay, what about if they possibly bring Phillip Rivers in? Because coincidentally, the day after Carson Wentz got injured, while all this news came out that he was going to get surgery, Phillip Rivers said, hey, I'm not rolling out a comeback. But he did mention that he wasn't going to give up coaching his son's football team. So Phillip Rivers is out of the picture for this season.
At this point, my Nana had a better throwing arm, stronger throwing arm than Phillip Rivers.
I mean, I don't think he's very far off in age either. Old man Rivers. But another name that has been thrown around is Nick Foles potentially making a comeback. And that makes sense. But it could cause a little bit of drama in the Colts locker room. ESPN's Lewis Riddick went on Get Up earlier to talk about what would happen if the Colts brought in Nick Foles to fill in at quarterback while Carson Wentz is manning his injury. Here's what Lewis Riddick had to say.
With regard to the Foles of it all, like we all know, like actions speak a lot louder than words. So they can say, oh, we love Carson. He's our guy. It's his franchise. The action of bringing in Nick Foles, I think, would counteract all of that, to say the least. What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, it would. It would. I think it could cause this whole transaction, as far as, you know, having Carson Wentz there, rebuilding him, getting him to play back to an MVP potential level, I think all that stuff could just basically fall apart, and they know that. And honestly, you know what? That's a tough situation to be in as a GM who is really charged with being, you know, trying to take advantage of what they believe to be a championship level roster, but you're having to jump through all these hoops for your quarterback who you knew all this stuff going in. But now that, you know, the worst case scenario has come to fruition, he got hurt. And now we really didn't really, like, manufacture the quarterback room the way we should have, which was have someone behind him who has some veteran experience, given the fact that this is a guy who's probably going to miss some time based on his track record. But I couldn't do that because I need to make sure he feels confident and feels loved and feels secure. Although in Philadelphia, they did the same things for him. And how did that turn out? They coddled him in Philadelphia, too. How did that turn out? Okay, so you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. You have to see this through, and hopefully he gets back. Because you know this, if we go with the nuclear option, so to speak, it could just unravel everything as far as bringing in a guy like Nick Foles.
Again, that was Lewis Riddick on Get Up this morning. You're shaking your head, Mark. What are your thoughts?
You got to be kidding me if they're not going to bring in a quarterback because they're afraid of Carson Wentz's feelings. I mean, it's about winning. It's about now. Carson Wentz was no guarantee to begin with. And the thought to drop him in midway or past midway through a season and hope that he's going to lead you to the promised land, I think is a little overly optimistic to begin with. So you go with your best option, whether it's Nick Foles, Jacob Eason, or somebody, and not worry about Carson Wentz. Tell him, listen, you're our guy long term, but we're trying to win this year. And if he doesn't like it, that's his problem. I mean, seriously. Is he going to hold the franchise hostage because he doesn't want them to bring in a quarterback? Is he that much of an infant? I mean, really? So, come on.
I mean, I was shocked even from the beginning that Chris Ballard didn't have some sort of backup plan at quarterback because, like Lewis Riddick said, it's not like Carson Wentz has a clean injury report.
Jacob Eason might turn out to be the answer. I don't know. Chris Ballard is a really good general manager. But the problem is a lot of these teams don't have good backup plans for their starter. They just don't. They gamble and spend their money elsewhere on the roster and just hope for the best. And, you know, sometimes they end up getting burned. But in this particular case, there's no way the Colts are going to take a knee just because Carson Wentz doesn't want them bringing in a veteran with that roster.
And having to tiptoe around Carson Wentz's feelings, that's also why I question they even brought him in the first place, because it's not like they're bringing in Nick Foles to create some competition in the quarterback room to stir things up. Carson Wentz is injured. He is unable to play. He is getting foot surgery. So for him to take that like a baby, honestly, to bring in a quarterback, the quarterback that gives your team the best chance to win, and maybe they do think that Jacob Eason is the guy that can bring in the best chance to win. And maybe they are thinking, hey, let's save a little bit of money. We didn't know exactly how many games we're going to win in the first five games of our stretch anyways. And maybe it does come down to it that Carson Wentz has a quick recovery and they're good with Jacob Eason in at quarterback for the first few weeks. But to have to tiptoe around Carson Wentz's feelings, you are a professional athlete. You know that this is a business. I don't understand why he would take it so personally, why he would be so upset about his team trying to win.
They knew that that Frank Reich would swaddle and burp Carson Wentz. But this, you know, gets, you know, beyond the pale. And you might be right. It might be closer to 4 weeks than 12 weeks, which makes a big decision. Mm-hmm. But it does take away camp for Wentz. And that's a huge disadvantage for the Colts. Absolutely. So the better option, you know, they might bring in a veteran just for insurance. And if he doesn't like it, you know, tough noogies, man. I mean, that is just the way the game is played.
That is still your job. As soon as you are rehabbed and you're ready to go, that is still your job. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. How do you feel about the quarterback situation in Indianapolis? Do you think that they'll try and bring in Nick Foles or maybe another veteran quarterback? Or are they sticking with their backup in Jacob Eason? And we'll get into a little bit more with the Colts. Maybe look at a bigger view at the AFC. Who feels like a threat to the Titans? In Mark's opinion, who does he see as a threat in the AFC? We'll get into all of that coming up next. I'm Caroline Fenton, joined by Mark Howard, filling in for Jared Stillman. You're listening to Stillman & Company live on 102.5 The Game.
Are they the 11-0 team they started out last year, or are they the team that finished with a whimper and not a bang?
Gee, I don't believe they're either one. I believe they're somewhere in the middle of that. And the problem is we have the Steelers as a whole in totality a bad football team. That wasn't the case last year. We know the offensive line was the issue. This team won 12 games last year. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going crazy. At the end of the year, they tailed off because people figured out that they couldn't run the football.
That was Marcus Spears on Get Up last week talking about the Steelers. And we had a discussion last week about who in the AFC could potentially be a threat to the Titans. Who could be the team that knocks them out in the first round of the playoffs like the Chargers did last year. Marcus Spears on Get Up saying, hey, don't count out the Steelers. So we did this exercise last week, Mark, and I want to go through all of the teams in the AFC. I want you to tell me if you think that this team could potentially be a threat to the Titans. Now, we'll start with the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. I think that they are up there as one of the best teams in the league, not just in the AFC. Could be a potential Super Bowl contender moving on, especially Josh Allen getting that massive deal last week. So, yes, 100%. The Buffalo Bills, a potential threat to the Titans. Now, this one is one that we kind of struggled with. The Miami Dolphins. Do you think they could be a threat to the Titans?
No. I think they played a little over their heads last year. I think they're going to take a step back. We're going to find out a lot about Tua this year. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And it was kind of funny to hear them, or at least hear rumblings, that they weren't happy with Tua, that they were going to trade up and get one of the quarterbacks in the draft. But they have a lot of talent. But I think it all broke right for them at the end of last year.
See, I'm not counting out Tua having a big year, having a big comeback year. You know, his rookie year is under his belt. He's had a little bit more time in this offense. He's had a little bit more time to train, to bulk up a little bit. But, I mean, the Dolphins are a fairly young team. So I just don't know. I kind of view the Dolphins, not as bad as the Jags, but kind of in the same breath, that I do think that they could be a potential threat down the road once everyone on their team, all their new players, have a little bit more experience under them. But I'm not completely sold on Tua, but I'm also not completely out on him having a big-time year this year. So I lean toward no for the Miami Dolphins, but I am not counting the Dolphins out. The New England Patriots. Now, they had a down year last year. Cam Newton at quarterback, potentially Mac Jones. He's been throwing a lot in training camp up in Foxborough. Not counting out Bill Belichick. Do you think the Patriots could potentially be a threat in the AFC?
Yeah. And I think Mac Jones is going to eventually be the quarterback. I just don't think Cam is that good. But they've improved. Gosh, they spent more than anybody else in free agency. They were more active than anybody else. So, yeah, I mean, they really tried to fortify themselves. You know, they went out and got the two best tight ends. You know, we'll see how that works out. They got better at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, never underestimate Belichick.
That's exactly why I said I am not going to count the Patriots out. I know that they had a bad season last year, but I don't see Bill Belichick having back-to-back non-playoff seasons. I don't foresee that for this team, and I think it'll also be interesting monitoring this quarterback situation because, as they have mentioned, Cam Newton for now is the starter, but I'm not ruling out the fact that Mac Jones could potentially end up being the starter, if not week one, then eventually down the road, maybe even possibly when the Titans travel to Foxborough later on in the season.
Titans own them in Foxborough, don't they?
Yep.
Since Vrabel got there.
Yep. Funny how that works.
Ask about the Jets. Let's move on.
All right, cool. I thought that we were pretty good on that
speed
one.
Bump.
Yeah, nope. I think that's a solidified, yeah, not really so worried about the New York Jets. AFC South, the Texans.
No, Colts.
No, Colts. And the Jags, I mentioned with the Dolphins earlier, I do think the Jags could potentially be good down the road. I think Trevor Lawrence has a high upside in the NFL.
Yeah, you're about 10 exits away from good.
Yeah, well, they're not good this year.
No.
I know, I'm not going to call them a sleeper team. I think a few years down the road, they have a little bit more depth at that team. Who knows what in the world Urban Meyer, how in the world he's going to work out there in Jacksonville. This year, not a threat. Down the road, not ruling it out. And then, of course, we said the Texans, no. The Colts are interesting. Right now, I'm just not that worried about the Colts. I thought that the Titans were going to win the AFC South before Carson Wentz got hurt, and now I have a hard time saying that all of a sudden Carson Wentz is hurt and they have injury issues throughout the team. I'm not going to say that, oh, all of a sudden they are. I'm worried about them now that they have an injury bug.
Ravens went like 7 straight weeks without scoring a touchdown in 2000, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So I'm just telling you, it's a long season.
It is a long season. And that brings us to the AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens. Is that a cause for concern for the Titans?
Yeah, but Lamar Jackson's got to stop acting like an idiot and get vaccinated. He's already tested.
He said COVID twice.
Twice. Now. And I don't understand why he's not getting as much criticism as Kirk Cousins. You know, to me, his logic is faulty. It's not about the validity of the vaccinations. It's about the fact that you're playing a team sport. If you play any team sport, you've got to be there are certain vaccinations you need to have. So I'm a little surprised that Lamar Jackson hasn't caught as much flack as Kirk Cousins has in Minnesota.
I've said it before, and I will say it again. The most vaccinated team in the NFL is going to have way more of a leg up. I'm not going to say the most vaccinated team in the NFL is going to win the Super Bowl, but when you have that kind of advantage on your side that other teams may necessarily not, I mean, you look at the Vikings. You mentioned Kirk Cousins. The Vikings quarterback room is an absolute mess because they're all in COVID protocol. Lamar Jackson coming off of his second positive COVID test. If this continues to happen throughout the season, the NFL will have zero sympathy for the Ravens. So while on paper, I do think that they could be a problem for the Titans, if Lamar Jackson continues to have COVID protocol, continues to have issues with COVID, then that could be a real, I hate to call it a gift, but a gift to the Titans to be able to get past the Ravens.
No, it's like anything else, Caroline. Playing in the NFL is a privilege, not a right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think your rights are being trampled upon by them asking you to be vaccinated, then don't play.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Next.
So that's a no.
Yeah.
That's a no. Their starting quarterback coming off of an ACL tear. He also mentioned earlier today that he's kind of going through a little bit of mental frustration getting past the pass rush, which is, if I'm a Bengals fan, I'm a little bit concerned.
He's got the twisties.
I love that that's a term now.
Yeah.
It's a fun little term.
Sure.
I hate that that's happening to people, but it's a fun little term.
Absolutely.
Been there. I've gotten the twisties before.
All right.
The Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
I think that they are, I don't think they're a slept on team by any means. They've definitely gotten a good bit of preseason hype, but the Cleveland Browns are going to have, in my opinion, could be one of the best seasons as of late for the Cleveland Browns. Finally, finally, they're getting a little bit of love in Cleveland. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
You think that they're going to give them some trouble?
Yeah, I just don't think you rule out Ben Roethlisberger, even though, you know, he's definitely on the 17th fairway of his career. But, you know, he's still got a pretty good array of receivers. You know, they've got Najee Harris now at running back, which could totally change that offense. So and they fortified their offensive line. I mean, they're better up front. So absolutely, you do not take the Steelers with a grain of salt.
So I heard, I want to say it was on Get Up last week, that Greeny's favorite for rookie of the year was Najee Harris.
Sounds good.
I just don't know if I'm on for it.
All right.
I don't know if I'm on for that. I don't know if I'm going to pick a running back for rookie of the year.
In Pittsburgh, I would.
In Pittsburgh, you would?
Hell yeah.
I'm just not high on Big Ben. I think he's old and fat.
No.
AFC West, Denver Broncos.
No, because the uncertainty at quarterback.
Uncertainty at quarterback. Just don't love the depth there in Denver. I mean, Kansas City. I think that's
absolutely
a resounding yes.
I think Kansas City is the absolute favorite. They went out and fixed their offensive line. You know, they spent wisely, and they've got the best quarterback in the game. So, pretty obvious.
I read on ESPN.com today that the most likely Super Bowl matchup, in their eyes, is a rematch, a Bucks-Chiefs rematch, and I would not be surprised to see the Chiefs go back to the Super Bowl if the Titans don't give them some trouble, of course. The Raiders.
No.
Why?
They're just not very good. Not very good defensively, and they've got some holes on offense. I don't think they're very good. I think they're an 8-9 win team, maybe. And they obviously blew up their offensive line because they wanted to get younger and cheaper there, and we'll see how that gamble pays off.
Your thoughts on Derek Carr? Because I just don't really know how to feel about him.
Derek Carr is a pretty good sort of middle-of-the-road quarterback, where if you put a good cast around him, he'll play well. If you don't, he won't.
He's effective. It's just the Derek Carr and Oakland Raiders pairing to me just feels so 8-8. And I know that's not a record in the NFL anymore with the 17th game added, but that's what it feels like to me. You know, you're good. You're not great. You know, you may win some games you weren't supposed to win. You may lose some games you weren't supposed to lose. But that's just how it feels to me in Oakland. I think that their ceiling is, you know, maybe a winning season, but nothing that's really going to scare me in terms of the Titans.
I'd love to know the real nature of his relationship with John Gruden, because Gruden's tough to play for, and he's tough on his quarterbacks. He falls in and out of love with his quarterbacks, and you wonder if Carr's there just because they couldn't trade him. Maybe they could have, but the alternative was equally unappetizing for Gruden to bring in a young quarterback and start all over again.
In your opinion, what do you think is the thing stopping the Raiders from getting to that next step? Is it Gruden?
Yeah. I'm not a big Gruden fan.
Last but not least, now this is a team that I listed on my list of teams that I was concerned about, and maybe
Sexy pick. Maybe
I am overhyping them a little bit, but the San Diego Chargers.
Well, they're in L.A. now.
You're right. The L.A. I'm reading off of a website. The L.A. Chargers.
Well, the Chargers last year, I think, lost more games by 7 points or less than any team in the NFL. So you figure if they win a few of those games, mm-hmm. you know, things will change. And Justin Herbert, they had the best rookie quarterback in the league. You know, he looked like a keeper, you know, mm-hmm. from the time he stepped in there. And so I guess, was he second year? I can't
He's
remember.
He's in his second year.
Second mm-hmm. year.
He's in that same
yeah.
QB class as Tua,
exactly,
Jalen Hurts,
yeah.
Joe Burrow.
But still, he you know, he looks like a keeper. If they can keep him upright and they can, you know, stay clear of injuries, and injuries really crippled them last year, mm-hmm. They're going to be an interesting team. Those Chiefs-Chargers games are going to be fun to watch.
They will be fun to watch. And I always wonder about second-year quarterbacks because they could have a rough rookie season. They could be injury-laden. It could have just taken them a little bit of time to get past that rookie hump, and the second year could be a breakout year for them, or it could even be kind of like a sophomore slump. But with Justin Herbert, he looked so good last year. I just have a hard time thinking he's going to take a step back.
You don't know.
You never know.
But he's got a pretty good cast around him, so I think he'll be fine.
That is Mark Howard's official list of teams that he is concerned or not concerned about as the Titans are concerned. Buffalo, New England, Indianapolis possibly, Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and San Diego, the teams that he thinks could give the Titans a little bit of trouble, and the Dolphins, Jets, Texans, Jags, Bengals, and Broncos and Raiders, maybe not so much. So I guess we will see as things start to unravel in the preseason, as position groups start to get a little bit more secure for the Titans. Now, coming up next, we will get into your calls, your texts surrounding the Titans, the AFC as a whole. Who do you think could potentially give the Titans a little bit of trouble? 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on that. We'll also get into a little bit of the Olympics as a whole. Now that we've wrapped up the Olympics in Tokyo, what do we think about them? So we will get into all of that coming up next. But before we do that, allow me to let you know that you can tune into Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow as the Sounds begin a 6-game road trip against Louisville, the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. You are listening to Stillman & Company live on 102.5 The Game.
If you can listen closely, you'll hear my heart breaking, Sage. Mm. This hurts me. Oh, listen, you know I'm a Colts fan. Like, I don't hide it. I want them, I always want them to be successful. I'm always going to be a Colt, but this is pretty tough news. And again, I'm with Frank. You know, you hope that it's on the 5 weeks, but if it's a 12-week type injury, this really sets the Colts back. I mean, you think, honestly, in the first 5 weeks of the season, they play two NFC teams to open it up. Then they got the Titans, the Dolphins, and the Ravens. Those three games, you know, an in-division opponent and then two AFC playoff teams, like, you got to win. Like, those are games you got to win, right? Those are huge. They're impactful for the playoffs. That's where the Colts want to be. Obviously, they had an opportunity to beat the Bills last year in the playoffs. It didn't come to fruition. This team was really poised and kind of under the radar to make not only a playoff push, but maybe contend. And I think from their perspective, they thought they were the favorite in the AFC South. Without Carson Wentz, they are not in that conversation. So you're hoping you get him back sooner rather than later.
That was ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday, who, of course, played for the Colts in his playing days in the NFL. He said, I'm a Colts fan, and it breaks my heart to hear the news about Carson Wentz's injury, which will leave him out for 5 to 12 weeks. And earlier on the show, I said, hey, I'm ready to mail it in. I'm ready to say that barring any unforeseen circumstances, with Carson Wentz out for however long with his foot injury, the Titans, it feels like, we'll win the AFC South. And we'll go to your phones, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on the Colts, on the Titans, on the AFC as a whole. But Ben texts into the text line and says, Jared's biased takes against the Colts have brushed off on Caroline and not in a good way. Mark is absolutely right. Anything can happen in the NFL, and injuries could surely happen with the Titans as well. Of course they can. Of course. I understand that. And I believe that Ben is a Colts fan, so I think that Ben's a little hurt.
And to get to the heart of it, Caroline, you know what happens when you assume.
It does do stuff to you and me. It does.
Yes.
I am fully aware that things can happen. I am fully aware that every single team is just as susceptible to injuries as the next. Now, knock on wood, barring any sort of injuries to Ryan Tannehill, to Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, any of their big hitters on offense, barring any injuries, it feels like, you heard it from Jeff Saturday, it feels like the Titans should be the favorite in the AFC South.
Yeah,
I don't
they should
understand.
Be the favorite, but I'm not popping the champagne yet.
How much do you guys watch and keep up with the Football Power Index from ESPN? The new FPI projection came out today. And for the Colts, even with the Wentz injury, the FPI has it at 44% chance for the Colts to win the AFC South. Do we think that's fair? 44%? Does that sound approximate?
They have a really good roster. That's 44%? Yeah, I mean,
that's what it says.
Like they're chopped liver. They're not.
And you love some FPI analytics, Caroline.
In fact, I do, just because there's a certain someone on this show who doesn't like analytics, so I just tend to do whatever rubs him the wrong way. But is that a 44% yes or no, or is that a 44% piece of the pie? Where do the Titans stand, Ian?
Let's see. That is a good question. Let me see. Let me try and read a little bit more in the article.
Yeah, we'll look and see wherever the Titans stand there. But
well, at best, they're 56. At worst, they're probably 53 or 54.
I mean,
and it has the Colts at a 59% shot to make the postseason as well.
Okay. You know, that still feels high, but I'm saying I totally understand that things could happen. But where it stands, I mean, you cannot tell me that with Carson Wentz out, the Colts still have a better chance at winning the AFC South than the Titans do right now. I just think that's ridiculous.
Maybe not, but it's not the gap is not as big as you think it is.
What do you think the Colts' biggest asset is right now?
Just about everything but quarterback. I mean, that's been the case with them. They're good everywhere. They got better on the D-line. They drafted Quiddipay. They're back seven, really good, especially at linebacker. They've got a good running back. They upgraded at receiver. They look pretty good to me. They had some losses on the offensive line. They had some injuries. Mm-hmm. And that's I'm more concerned about that than I would quarterback, to be honest with you.
Which is another thing that we haven't.
You know, not having
out.
Quentin Nelson is no small thing.
That's a huge loss to the Colts.
The Titans have the fifth best chance of winning the division out of all the teams. They have a 45.4% chance to win the division, according to the FPI, and the Colts have a 44.4. So they're one percentage point difference to win the division.
That's crazy to me.
Well,
that is crazy to me. I mean, if Jacob Eason is the Colts starting quarterback and they have just about as good of a chance of winning the AFC South, and I know that the timeline is up in the air, I know that's a question mark for Carson Wentz, I just have a really hard time getting on board with the fact that the Colts without Quentin Nelson and without Carson Wentz are right up there with the Titans.
Anthony Costanzo, yeah.
Exactly. We'll go back to your phone lines. You're from WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Alex texts in and says, in regards to the teams that he's worried about in the AFC, the Bills, the Chiefs, and most of all, the Titans beating themselves.
Yeah. Although they really haven't had a habit of doing that.
Beating themselves?
Yeah. Now, that there are certain days where they're really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen that. But really, for the most part, yeah, and you know, everybody keeps waiting. I always love to read Jim Wyatt's letter, you know, mailbag. And you got all these people, again, afraid of a Tannehill regression. Just stop. That's not what I'm worried about. I think Tannehill is what he is. And that's a top 10, top 12 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be solid again.
Yeah, but fearing a Tannehill regression before it's even happened, I think, is a little bit presumptive. I mean, you could say the same thing about Derrick Henry. We're a little bit concerned about a Derrick Henry step back. I mean, really, that risk is there for anyone. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're going to take a quick Preds break. We have a Preds thought here. ESPN's NHL writer Greg Wyshynski will join us later on in the 4 o'clock hour. But I wanted to get into a little bit of the grading of the Preds' free agency acquisitions, players they got, players that they lost. So we'll get into that coming up next. You are listening to Stillman & Company live on 102.5 The Game.